If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
We go to Ukraine and Joseph Lindsley as President Biden meets with Ukraine President Zelensky in Paris today. And Joe, I don't know if you got to see the video of Zelensky and one of the Normandy veterans, the veteran was hugging and thanking President Zelensky for what he's doing. It was very emotional.
Yeah, it was wonderful to see that. And Zelensky knelt down because the veteran was in a wheelchair and knelt down and gave him a hug. And the veteran called Zelensky, a hero. And Zelensky said to the veteran, "No, you saved Europe." And to see that mutual recognition across many different generations for those standing against tyranny. And then the veteran said to President Zelensky, "I'll pray for you." And you can really see, this absolute sense of mutual respect and this feeling that, I think for people who are in Ukraine and trying to help Ukraine, the D-Day commemorations of, 80 years ago is a reminder that if you let things slip so far, it's going to take something even more extraordinary than what we've seen to stop tyrannical forces somewhere in the world, including here in Europe. And so extra motivation as we think of President Zelensky meeting with President Biden, next week will be the G7 summit in. Well, first I should mention it's easy to forget these things because it's so commonplace. Unfortunately, we had a night of air raid alarms throughout the country. Russian missiles flying, in that usual dance macabre. They're coming your way. No, they've changed for Kyiv. They're going to Lviv. They're going to Dnipro. Hours of madness. Drones traveling, over rivers to try to avoid detection for surveillance purposes, and then followed by missiles. And so a very lively night. And it seems that what the Russians, lately in these sort of midnight attacks that went on to about 5 o'clock in the morning, they've not been hitting cities in the same way that they were, say, a month or several months ago. They're clearly looking for energy infrastructure and probably military infrastructure. And, with all the stories about will there be F-16s in Ukraine, amid that chatter, it seems that the Russians are clearly trying to hit military infrastructure, trying to look for it. So, the hope is that Ukrainians are able to hide their stuff well enough. But when it comes to, the electrical infrastructure, you can't move that around and hide it so easily. That's much easier for the Russians to target. A lot of those things that were built during Soviet times, even if it was by Ukrainian engineers, the Russians have the maps. They know where this stuff is. And so because of that, the power situation, is very difficult. I've been fortunate where I am, but in much of Lviv, there are blackouts. In Odessa, there's barely any power, just maybe a couple hours a day for most people. And it's anticipated that this is going to get worse, that people can just expect just, maybe a couple hours a day of power. So there is something where the Russians have, they've been very precise. But as we look at, think about this meeting, the meeting of President Zelensky or President Biden after the Normandy commemorations in Paris, and next week will be the G7 summit in Italy, and sort of very strategically, just right as soon as that summit ends, not far away over the border in Switzerland, President Zelensky has organized his peace summit. This really seems to be like a personal mission of his to get the world to come together, the free world to come together, and to find more strength and resolve. President Biden, the White House said that President Biden will not be traveling to this. Said he's going to a political fundraiser, but Vice President Kamala Harris will be there. And in the lead up to this, both to the G7, I think especially in the lead up to the G7, a lot of Ukrainians are focusing on one point as they get more adept at being political here as a matter of survival. And, there's a few surprising things that probably everyone forgets because it's so hard to really think about this. But, Bob, Russian oil still flows through Ukraine. So you have, Russia tried to existentially destroy Ukraine But those pipelines, I've seen some of them when I'm hiking in the mountains. You know, you can come across these pipelines in the forest and you touch it and you know that that's coming. What's inside is coming from Russia, and still Russia is able to profit from these things. You know, the U.S. Treasury gives waivers to Russian banks if they're doing business with oil. So if they're doing business with chocolates and stuff, well, then you're in trouble. Then you can't, you know, then there's sanctions. But if you you're working on oil, you're protected. And this is, you know, we can understand why this is. Some of it's sinister. Some of it probably just, you know, people are afraid of touching this. And so Ukrainians are saying, well, let's try to find more simple ways to get around this. And if you look at, there are more than $300 billion of Russian assets that are frozen right now. So assets of Russian, the Russia's central bank, that are frozen in the United States and in European countries. And so, you know, so that's part of the sanctions. So, you know, the money, the Russians can't access it, but it just sits there. And so there's a stronger and stronger campaign now. And this is what is going to be a focus at the G7 and at this peace summit, is why not use this Russian money that's frozen in the U.S. and Europe to fund the victory effort? You know, and you know, even just start with the rebuilding if you don't want to use that to finance weapons. But, you know, to ease the burden on Europe and the U.S., to ease the financial burden, you have all this money, $300 billion from Russia. And, you know, yesterday was the one-year anniversary of that destruction of the Novokakhovka Dam in southern Ukraine, which it was so massive. It's really hard. I mean, still a year later, upriver from that dam, like near the city of Nikopol, you know, which used to be a massive reservoir, really a huge body of water. It still looks like a desert a year later. The ecology is so ruined and destroyed there. You know, so many lives were upset. The best, you know, one of the estimates of damage is like $14 billion, but it's really hard to put a price on it. So much destruction and damage. And so in light of that, Ukrainians are saying in the lead up to the G7, why not start taking money from the Russian, you know, this Russian money that's just sitting there frozen in the U.S. and throughout Europe?
Good question. And, you know, so often, and you're a history buff, you know this, it's many times about oil and water in wars. Who has the oil? Who has the water? I guess also, Joe, before I let you go, you're probably pretty happy, or the people there are pretty happy, that French President Macron, after the D-Day commemorations yesterday, announced that France is going to supply Ukraine with Mirage fighter jets. Those are like the American-made F-16s, aren't they?
Yeah, and it sounds like he wants to move quickly. And so this, you know, the U.S., there's still a question if they want to send these fighter jets here or not. But Macron is wanting to move quickly, and he said the training can start in a few weeks, and it just takes a few months. So there's momentum there. And by the way, that medic we talked about earlier, mm-hmm. was killed while she was tending to the wounded. Yesterday in New York City, people gathered at Columbus Circle to sing songs in her honor. So it's great to with good words from good energy from France and also in the U.S. to help Ukraine.
Let's end on that good note and hope for more good news. We'll talk Monday. Thank you, Joe.
Come Monday. Thank you, Bob.